For us at the beauty team, I mean, we go to trade shows like Cosmoprof, and this is a place where we see the trends that we have forecasted really come to life. And we say, if we've seen something at a trade show, which is truly surprising to us, we actually haven't done our job properly. So these trends and these innovations that we see at the trade shows, they are for us a confirmation of the trends that we have forecasted. And also we're seeing where these trends are currently landing in the trend cycle. Are they emerging? Is it something to invest in? Is it expanding or is it in a decline? What I love about going to these trade shows is I really love seeing how the brands are interpreting the trends and how they're putting their own spin on the trends, maybe for a target audience or for their region.
That's Sienna Piccioni, Head of Beauty at WGSN, reflecting on this year's Cosmoprof Bologna. You're listening to Create Tomorrow with me, Claire Varga, Director of Beauty at WGSN, and your host for this special episode reflecting on Cosmoprof Bologna, the biggest annual beauty trade show in the world dedicated to all sectors of the beauty industry. Today, I am joined by Sienna Piccioni, Head of WGSN Beauty, and also Pia Fisher, Strategist for WGSN Beauty, who both attended Cosmoprof last week and are ready to share their insights and observations with you. We'll be discussing the highlights from the show, the latest innovations in the beauty industry, and what brands should really take notice of from this year's show. We'll also get into how what we find at the trade shows, including Cosmoprof Bologna, validate and feed our forecasting at WGSN. So Sienna, you are Head of Beauty at WGSN, and I want to start with you. Can you set the scene for our listeners? What was the atmosphere like at Cosmoprof? The weather looked amazing and the whole thing looked pretty buzzy. So what was it like?
Hi, Claire. So Cosmoprof Bologna had a real kind of excitement to it this year. It was very busy. There was a lot of people. I think looking at the stats, there are around 248,000 people that attended with over 3,000 exhibitors. So there was a lot of ground for us to cover. And these exhibitors, they were showcasing the latest in all of the beauty categories, including brands, suppliers, distributors, manufacturers from across the globe. So I would say if you ever wanted to start a beauty brand, this would be the place to go. And what's really great about Cosmoprof is you're getting a complete kind of global snapshot of what's happening at beauty at the moment. It feels like you are in the epicenter of the beauty industry. I mean, I just love the show because one moment you're looking at new packaging, you're looking at kind of new skincare textures. The next minute you're testing out the newest kind of beauty tech skincare device. Or, you know, you walk into another hall and you're watching someone getting spray tanned or wax live on stage. So it's a real melting pot.
Yeah, I love the fact that shows are like that. Beauty shows are very hands-on, shall we say, very interactive. Pia, I saw you trying so many products and lots of new tech in your video reports from the show. And they really bring the show to life for people, don't they? And they're great for people who don't attend.
Yeah, definitely. It's so good to go to the show and just see all of those trends that we've anticipated kind of materialize. We get to meet so many new people and then also see all of our WGSN beauty clients and how they've interpreted the trends into all these incredible products. And I spent a lot of time in the professional beauty section and hair world and the spa and skin areas. And we are really starting to see these professional sectors kind of collide with beauty and skincare and hair care. And I got zapped many times in the name of research. No waxing, but I did get zapped.
Taking one for the team there, Pia. I also would like to give some context to our listeners about why we go to trade shows at WGSN. So again, starting with you, Sienna, can you explain sort of how shows like Cosmoprof Bologna fit into our forecasting specifically? Is it about the newness? Is it about validation? Why do we go to trade shows?
For us at the beauty team, I mean, we go to trade shows like Cosmoprof, and this is a place where we see the trends that we have forecasted really come to life. And we say, if we've seen something at a trade show, which is truly surprising to us, we actually haven't done our job properly. So these trends and these innovations that we see at the trade shows, they are for us a confirmation of the trends that we have forecasted. And also we're seeing where these trends are currently landing in the trend cycle. Are they emerging? Is it something to invest in? Is it expanding or is it in a decline? What I love about going to these trade shows is I really love seeing how the brands are interpreting the trends and how they're putting their own spin on the trends, maybe for a target audience or for their region.
So yeah, we definitely want to be surprised by the application, but we don't want to go and be surprised by the trend. Like you said, if that's happening, we're definitely doing something wrong. So, but I, again, you know, you're talking about seeing things play out and seeing how brands are applying trends or what they're bringing to them. And that's really how the newness comes through and how you can see the trend evolve and sort of start to understand where it's going next. So Pia, coming to you on this, in your role as a strategist at WGSN, what are you looking for at trade shows like Cosmoprof? Having seen your Instagram at the weekend, I could assume that it's the weather and the fabulous food, but I'm sure there might be another reason you go as well.
I mean, the food was an added benefit, but no. For this show, I always have my cosmetic science hat on. I'm kind of a beauty nerd on the ground. So I'm always looking out for brands that are leveraging those latest ingredients and technology that I've been researching all year round. So, for example, at this year's Cosmoprof, we saw exosomes everywhere. And it's a key ingredient that we've called out earlier in the year. We've done a whole key trend on it. And it's got these really interesting ties to kind of longevity claims in skincare and prejuvenation. And we discovered so many new niche brands tapping into this trend and into this ingredient, all with their own unique spin. But also what's interesting for me is to see how this trend is evolving and kind of penetrating into these different categories and what the next step is. So, for example, I saw this hair loss prevention product from a Korean-based brand called Cosmolab, and they're using exosomes in the scalp care category, which is a really cool new way to use this ingredient.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't agree with you both more. I love this, the sensorial aspect of trade shows, you know, because we love doing the video, but I wish we could bring the smell to people and, you know, we try and show them the textures. It's just really great to experience the products firsthand. And for me, when I go to trade shows, I love the brand discovery as well. You know, it's nice to see all those little niche brands coming up that you maybe don't get that much press. And yeah, for me, it's just, again, a great place to find new brands and new innovations. So staying with you, can you tell me some of your other show highlights? And I'm also wondering, you know, we forecast so many trends at WGSN. Was there a trend that you saw really gaining traction, something that we predicted that's really starting to play out there?
I'm a magpie for a beauty glimmer, and we really saw this trend starting to emerge at the show. So there was lots of innovations that focused on kind of multi-sensory impact on the consumer during use phase rather than just like end results and really embedding joy into products as you use them every day.
Now, obviously, I know what a glimmer is because it's one of our WGSN focus on trends for this year. I love a glimmer too. But can you sum up what a glimmer is or the trend of glimmers is for our listeners? And maybe also, how did you see it playing out? What sort of glimmer products did you see?
So we define glimmers as those everyday micro moments of joy. So they're the complete opposite of a trigger. They help you cope with the stresses of every day. For beauty, this is really seen as kind of products that offer the antidote to averageness. So they make you feel something. They can uplift you. They can inspire you and sometimes even kind of shock you. But it's all about feeling something. And then I think if I could describe this trend in one product that we saw at the show, it would be the temporary tattoo device, Prinker. So they transfer any pattern or kind of hair care color or temporary tattoo onto your skin. And you can't really get much more glimmer than that, can you?
No, you can't. And for anybody who wants to know more about glimmers, this is a subject that we actually covered in our Consumer Sentiment sister podcast, Lives of Tomorrow, with WGSN CEO Carla Buzashi and psychotherapist Deb Dana. So do check out that podcast or, you know, wherever you get your podcast from. But yeah, Pia, I'm quite jealous that you got to try that, because I remember writing about that when it launched, and I was just fascinated about it. How does it actually work?
So you can select the pattern that you'd like from the app, and then it transfers to the device via Bluetooth, and then you kind of run it over the skin or even over your hair. In literally seconds, the cosmetic ink transfers, and it lasts kind of 24 hours, so you can chop and change as you feel. And I got a little puppy dog emoji on my arm. It was so cute, and we filmed it actually for the show roundup, which is on the site now. And also, I think, on our Instagram as well.
Why aren't I surprised that you got a puppy? Not at all. So glimmers, they're inherently tactile and very sensorial as well. So a glimmer can be something really, really quite simple as well, can't it?
Yeah, and packaging is a key area that we saw this activation of beauty glimmers. There's this Korean brand I know we're all fans of on the team, Musige Mansion. It showcased its sleek matte cushion. So it's this semi-matte cushion foundation. And what makes it really innovative and glimmer-like is its faux leather packaging. So as you press it, it really kind of bounces back, and it's super interactive. And it's this kind of satisfying texture that we've forecast and we've written about so much. And we call it tactile hedonism. And I just really think this is such good embodiment of that trend.
It is. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the brand and their packaging as well. In fact, I made Sienna bring me back one of their lipsticks last time she was in Hong Kong. And I have to say, every time I use it, it does spark a lot of joy. So it's, yeah, totally on board with that. Sienna, did you see glimmers in other categories, or, you know, where did you see it playing out?
Really interesting, actually. I saw a lot of glimmers in skincare, but not in the way that you would usually think about it. So especially with coming out of Korean contract manufacturers such as Colmar, we found these amazing, really joyful, transformative textures. The ones that I loved were these really sensorial, pleasing bubble balms and cleansers. We also saw these really lovely, fluffy yogurt creams and these bouncy jelly creams, as well as a texture that I hadn't really seen before, which was a freezing ice pad. And what was really kind of fun about these textures is that they encourage play. And I think what it does is it really makes the daily skincare routine a lot less boring. It feels a bit more exciting, you know, when you're applying your bouncy jelly cream every day. It also speaks to our tactile hedonism trend, and it's finding, you know, joy and small luxuries in these small everyday items.
Staying with you, Sienna, what else stood out for you at Cosmoprof?
So one of the key themes that I saw throughout the show was a theme that we've been talking about quite a bit at WGSN. It's tweakment adjacent skincare. So this is skincare that produces results like having a non-invasive clinic treatment, or it can help amplify the results of an in-clinic treatment or an injectable. So we actually forecasted this back in 2022, and it was really nice to see it come into fruition at the show. And this trend has really been driven by consumers wanting to achieve these tweakment-like results at home, but, you know, without the pain or, you know, the rising costs. And I think what's also driving this trend is the emerging glass skin aesthetic. And we've seen this a lot, you know, on TikTok, this really lovely, bouncy, glowy, plump, healthy looking skin. And these consumers, they don't mind investing in these kind of high maintenance products and doing these high maintenance regimes for really low maintenance looks. And we've actually coined this at WGSN as the $5,000 face.
Yeah, I love that. $5,000 face is a great term. I think I'm probably about, I don't know, $50 face at the moment. I'm not really sure where I'm at. But it's really interesting, you know, that you talk about the tweakment adjacent. And we've talked a lot about, you know, recovery care emerging as a bona fide standalone category within beauty now. And there's so many opportunities coming through for brands in it. Where did you see brands innovating? What are they sort of doing in this space?
So in this space, we're seeing it a lot with the formulas as well, which is really interesting. So there was a lot of formulas that I saw at the show that were being marketed as better than Botox, which was really interesting. And they were using these novel ingredients. One of them is exosomes. So exosomes were everywhere throughout the show. And if you don't know, exosomes are actually an ingredient technology, which has the potential to deliver active ingredients deeper into the skin. And yeah, we saw this in various formats. I saw it in an injectable format. I saw it in creams. It was absolutely everywhere. We actually also saw this in microneedling format. So microneedling is an in-clinic treatment, but we saw a lot of microneedling at home formats. And one of these iterations were formulations that contained an ingredient technology called spicules. And these are minuscule spikes that are made out of plant-based materials. They're said to penetrate the skin, delivering active ingredients deeper into the skin. So there was a really interesting Korean brand called the Ilon, and they had a serum called MesoPro Plus. And this serum contained spicules that were made out of cica. And we actually tried this on the show. I'm actually pregnant at the moment, so I let Pia try it because I was a little bit scared. But she said it felt like a little bit of a nettle sting on the skin. And it's really interesting as well, because microneedling is quite an intense treatment if you get it in clinic. So to have the formula at home delivering hopefully the same effects is pretty innovative.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'd say like a cactus, but nice. And I think the cool part of it was that when you apply skincare that kind of has these long-term benefits, you can't always feel it when you apply to the skin. And I think that's the interesting part of this, these spicules, is that you can really like feel the ingredients going into your skin.
There's definitely something in that, isn't it? Like feeling something's working as well. I don't know, like you associate pain with it working somehow. It's really interesting that you said that.
Well, on the flip side, I actually spoke to some Korean brands that said that people wanted microneedling in Korea, but they didn't want the pain of in-clinic treatments or the spicules. So there were a couple of brands showcasing new devices such as needle-free microneedling devices. So these are kind of high-frequency and LED devices that are supposed to create micro holes in the skin without the pain.
You don't get the pain of the high cost and you don't get the pain of the treatment. That sounds like a pretty much sort of a win-win there. You're listening to a special edition of Create Tomorrow on Cosmoprof Bologna, which took place in Italy last week. I'm your host, Claire Varga, Director of Beauty at WGSN, here to talk about the biggest annual beauty trade show in the world that's dedicated to all sectors of the beauty industry. My guests today are Sienna Piccioni, Head of Beauty at WGSN, and Pia Fisher, Strategist for WGSN. So, Pia and Sienna, it is impossible to talk about beauty innovation at the moment and not talk about AI. I think it's one of the things that we are getting asked about most from our clients. So, starting with you, Pia, how did AI present at the show? Was it present or is it hype? You know, are brands now starting to harness the sort of power of AI and how are they using it?
It was definitely all over the show, and I really saw it within hair care in particular and all around kind of AI powered diagnostic devices. That was one of the most interesting uses of AI that I saw. So we saw a lot of scalp analysis devices in particular. So they kind of paired AI diagnostics with these cameras that analyze your scalp to give personalized product recommendations. And there were a couple of brands that actually had partnered with smart manufacturing systems to create prescriptions, hair care and skincare products. This is something that we forecast all the way back in 2021. So scalp care as the new skincare was one of our forecasts. And then also we covered Techspert hair care and really looked at how tech-driven routines would start to be integrated into the beauty industry.
So this is something that's really happening more in professional beauty, isn't it? I know at the moment my Insta feeds and my TikTok are just full of scalp facials, Korean beautiful sort of treatments. So is this really a professional thing rather than an at-home beauty thing?
Yes, I think probably driven by the cost at the moment, especially of the scalp cameras and analytical software. Professional use kind of seems to be the biggest opportunity. So there were lots of these devices that were geared up for salon and also retail applications. There's probably too many examples to mention here, but I'd say three highlights were there was a Camea hair analyzer from Italy, which analyzed a single strand of your hair and then created a custom mask. So you add it to the end of your hairdryer in the salon and you get a treat while you style blow dry, which was really interesting. And then the same, there was a Taiwanese brand, Juilliard. They had a scalp X system, which has a scalp camera which shows your scalp before and after a treatment. So you can see how the products are affecting your scalp. And then it also gives you daily at-home scalp care tips. And then even more detail, maybe too much detail, was a Korean scalp analysis tool with Beckon. So this camera measured all the usual parameters like follicle density, scalp type, but it also measured scalp temperature, which is linked to inflammation and maybe even hair loss. And then also a volatile organic compound sensor. So this sensor basically can analyze how smelly your hair might be.
Oh, wow. I think that our consumer tech team highlighted this at CES, this piece of kit. And I have to say, I saw you trying this in the video that you recorded. And there was a burning question that I just need to ask Pia, I'm afraid. And it's, did you have smelly hair?
This was a very nerve-wracking one to test out in front of the camera crew. I specifically washed my hair the day before that I had to do this video because I knew there'd be a lot of close-ups of my scalp and measurements of odour. But I can say on that day, my scalp was not smelly.
That's good. I sit next to you quite often and I'm pleased to say that I've never noticed anything. So we know the AI is working as well. So Sienna, you were focusing quite heavily on skincare at the show. Was AI being used as a diagnostic there too, or was it other ways?
So in skincare, AI was so prevalent throughout the show. And like in hair care, it's ushering in this kind of new era of personalized skincare, which is more specific and more accurate than ever before. And this is a topic which we actually called and named as precision personalization. And we forecasted this in our autumn winter 25-26 forecast. And what's really driving this is we're seeing consumers being more open to using AI diagnostics as it's helping to solve beauty pain points and it's helping to eliminate decision fatigue. We know there are so many skincare products out there. There's so many ingredients out there. No one knows what's actually going to be right for their skin or good for their skin. And we've all experienced that time where we've don't know what beauty product to buy and what will work for our skin. So this is where AI really kind of comes to fruition and really kind of shines.
Yeah, and that's where we're predicting AI is really going to add value to customers and really enhance the customer experience, right? It's about taking the guesswork out of things for them.
Definitely. And I think it was really showcased at Cosmoprof this year because they had a whole dedicated beauty tech section, which was pretty much dedicated to AI diagnostic platforms. So we had platforms such as Iconic AI, which are from Germany, and also the Taiwanese company Perfect Corp. And these platforms, they're creating systems for brands and retailers to analyze skin health and skin type based on images that you just take of yourself. And they can recommend specific skincare from multiple brands. And also some of these platforms are also recommending specific supplements for your skin, which is pretty incredible. And a brand that I saw there, which is really kind of bringing all of these together, is a UK-based brand, Precision Skin. And they are creating end-to-end skincare diagnosis all in one. So the consumer, when they sign up to the brand, they have an AI skin analysis, which is built using over 70,000 medical grade images and over 100,000 diverse skin images. They also take an online quiz and they also put in their geolocation. And so the brand then will design clinical grade skincare formulations based on this. And what's really interesting about this brand is that the formula formulations aren't just designed based on the individual's skin data, but also the UV index in their area, their pollution and humidity, and really catering to the changing environments. And they said that each time that your product runs out, they will kind of re-upload this information. So if, you know, the weather is changing in your area every 2 months when your skincare runs out, they're going to update the skincare formulations based on this.
Yeah, and that really is what precision is around, isn't it? Precision products. I really like it. But I have to admit, from my point of view, I like the idea of no more sort of cupboards full of half-used bottles of badly matched foundation that I've selected myself, or skincare that's not suitable my skin. And yeah, God knows how much money there is in my cupboards alone from all the incorrect purchases I've made. But joking aside, it's also great for the environment too. It's going to sort of cut down on waste. So I'm definitely here for that. I like it. Pia, do you have a tip for a brand to watch from the show this time round?
I'm obsessed with hair care tools at the moment, and in particular, scalp massage. So I was loving seeing all of those Korean spa innovations. But I think one brand that I would call out would be a Japanese hairbrush brand, Suntreg. So they create these luxury hairbrushes that have 300 plus bristles, all made with different materials, and they have different lengths so that they simultaneously massage your scalp and detangle. So again, it's embedding those kind of luxury routines, beauty glimmers into your everyday routine.
Oh, that sounds like the absolute epitome of a beauty glimmer right there. And actually, as you were talking, my scalp went a bit tingly, actually. I could almost imagine it. That sounds fabulous. So Sienna, a one to watch from you to round things up?
Well, mine's a little bit more technical and less glimmery. So for me, I was really wowed by this Korean beauty tech company called Lily Cover. And they showcased many kind of diagnostic devices. But one of them that really stood out was a custom cosmetic manufacturing system called Anima. And they create a personalized formula in less than 4 minutes. And the system holds over 25,000 recipes and can define over 40 different skin types using skin data. And so the actual system, it looks like, it's not that big, actually. It looks like, you know, when you go to an arcade and that thing that you use to select the toys when you put your money in them, it was kind of as big as that. So it was pretty insane how something that big can create all these different formulas. And what's really incredible about this device is it's really bringing kind of precision personalization into fruition. And precision personalization is going to be a big consumer driver going forward. And so this device is really going to hit the mark and make it much more accessible for brands and, you know, maybe consumers. Maybe you might find it in an arcade near you.
It sounds amazing. And I have to say, after listening to you both, and obviously, I've seen the videos and I know the forecast that we're about to publish, but I feel like I have a very, very long shopping list all of a sudden, or of things that I'm coveting. And I can only imagine what your luggage was like coming back with samples, because it sounds like it was a really interesting show.
I thought Piers was about to explode.
Yeah, I did have some olive oil in there as well.
See, foodie as well. I knew it. Thanks to my colleagues Sienna Piccioni, Head of Beauty at WGSN, and Pia Fisher, Strategist for WGSN Beauty, for joining me today. I have been your host, Claire Varga, Director of Beauty at WGSN. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find videos and forecasts covering many of the topics we've touched upon on our beauty platform. If you're not a WGN subscriber, head to WGSN.com to discover how to subscribe to our services. We are constantly publishing new content, focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And that includes food and drink, interiors, fashion, and consumer tech. We'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. You can catch the CEO of WGSN, Carla Buzashi, next week on our other podcast, Lives of Tomorrow, where they are discussing the future of fashion with industry trailblazer Jane Shepherdson, CBE.